We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF, the final hour of the week. How many of you and I work, Christian? Like four?
All the time together, not even a full day.
Unbelievable.
Oh, actually, no, we worked on Monday. They called the game on Monday.
Yeah, we did.
Come on, give us more credit than that.
Remember that?
It's like that straight up trying to sabotage my day.
All right, we continue to talk about the NFL draft because, let's face it, we finally care here in New England about this year's NFL draft, and our coverage is presented by Zooty. You can build any application your company needs in 1 week. Get your free trial today. Visit Zooty.com for details. And today we welcome in from ESPN and the Draft Scout. You can catch him thedraftscout.com. It is Matt Miller joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Appreciate you having me on today.
All right.
So you got all of this figured out because we keep on hearing backs may be changing here. Is this all smoke? Are we teams just throwing a bunch of crap out there to get people off the sniff? What's going on here?
I mean, y'all are New England. You know how this works, right? This is absolutely they are. And I think also, like, there is something to it as well as, like, this draft process is so long. And it's like you almost run out of things to talk about and think about, and you over-evaluate players and you overthink situations. And so often it just goes back to, oh, okay, that's what we thought was going to happen. I could tell you, this will be my 11th year covering the NFL draft professionally. I could tell you how many times in 11 years a pick will be announced to be like, oh, yeah, okay, thought that was going to happen. And so I think, you know, we know that Trevor Lawrence is going to be picked first. We know that Zach Wilson is going to be picked second. Everyone you talk to in the NFL, every person connected within the NFL, you know, atmosphere believes that Mac Jones will be the number three pick. There's probably a little wiggle room there, but it really does feel like the draft starts at four, no matter what the betting lines tell you after Justin Fields' pro day, or no matter what San Francisco 49er fans want. It really does feel like we're going to see those three quarterbacks go off the board at the top, and then things get interesting within Atlanta at number four.
Yeah, so I heard you earlier talking about Kyle Trask out of Florida, quarterback out of Florida, about him being a good fit here in New England. But he's just, you know, one of, let's say, three, right? Because there's a Kyle Trask, there's Ian Book, and there's a Kellen Mond. I just feel like all those guys are kind of, there's not one guy that's completely separates themselves from the other one. So would you be happy with any one of those three guys?
Well, I would throw Davis Mills from Stanford in there. I'm not an Ian Book believer. I mean, he's gritty and he's tough and he's athletic, but he's very undersized. He doesn't have a very good arm. So I would throw Davis Mills from Stanford in, who, like, probably isn't on a lot of radars because he only started 13 games in college due to injury and then COVID shortening the season. But I don't think there's one guy that's better than the other. But I think which player, if they were to select one of those, it would tell us more about how Josh McDaniels wants his offense to evolve. We saw 20 years of drop back in the pocket play from Tom Brady. And then we see them bring in Cam Newton, which is a polar opposite from what Tom Brady was. So if they drafted Kellen Mond from Texas A&M, okay, that tells us they want to keep that athletic element to the quarterback position. If they draft Kyle Trask or Davis Mills, it tells us they want somebody who can operate from within the pocket, can maybe move around a little bit to extend the play, but isn't necessarily a running threat. It's going to be more of a downfield passer. So I think that will be the clue, I guess, if you will, from who they draft this year at the quarterback position will be, okay, this is what the offense is going to look like. And I personally believe the moves that they made in free agency would seem to point toward the direction of a more athletic quarterback, someone who's going to be able to operate in the middle of the field a little bit better. But we'll see what they do.
You know, Matt, I'm one that kind of wants them to go get a guy, right? Hopefully they never pick 15 again. If they got to go up to 8, 9, 10 to get one of these guys, and whether it's Fields or Trey Lance, and we were talking before, I mean, you could see Pitts and Sewell and Chase and Devontae Smith, and you could be at 8, and teams are just like, I can't pass up this defensive player. But do you like one of those two guys more than the other, and how far the Patriots would have to go up, in your opinion, to get one of them?
Yeah, see, the key is you might have to go to 4 because we don't know what Atlanta will do. And so Atlanta could take a quarterback in the future. They could also trade their pick. So it's not always about, you know, let's say Atlanta takes Trey Lance and the Patriots like Justin Fields. You could look at picks 5 through 8, be like, none of those teams are going to take a quarterback. We're okay. We've just got to get ahead of Denver. But what you have to worry about is somebody trading up to secure, to make sure you don't, right? So I think that's what makes this interesting is, I love Justin Fields. He's my number 2 quarterback in this class. I think he's a tremendous prospect. I think he would be great in New England. To make sure you get him, you might have to go to 4. If the Falcons draft Kyle Pitts and the Bengals take Penei Sewell and the Dolphins take Jamar Chase, well, then Detroit's sitting there. Detroit can't really, truly be in love with the idea that Jared Goff is their franchise quarterback now and forevermore. So you have to worry about Detroit taking him. So I think that's where I'm with you. I think with 10 draft picks and having signed 21 players in free agency, now is your time to go get them. And something I said yesterday was that we've seen New England drafting at 32, 31, 30. It's really hard to get up to 4 or 5 overall from those positions. It costs a lot. It's not as hard to go from 15 to one of those spots to make sure you get a quarterback. I mean, it might cost you a 1 next year and a 3 next year on draft day to move up that amount. But if you can get Justin Fields or Trey Lance, it's absolutely worth it.
Real quick, I just want to jump in real quick. Say on a get up, a get down, that if the Patriots were able to pick draft Justin Fields, that they should get the duck boats ready, they're going to the Super Bowl? Am I paraphrasing that correctly?
I didn't say duck boats. I said the ticker tape. But okay. Yeah, I said that. I said get it ready.
Wow.
Like, get the
Why?
Ready.
This year? He's that. Yeah, right off the bat, as a rookie.
Not this year. No. Okay. No, it was more like you have the greatest head coach of all time and like a good team. They won 7 games last year with just completely incompetent offensive play. No wide receivers. Cam gets COVID. There was no preseason for anyone to like gel and acclimate together. So I do think if you draft Justin Fields and you say, all right, we're going to take this just a little slow. You'll probably beat Cam Newton out by like the bye week. Because you're drafted early, that's what we see happen. We saw it with Tua last year, Justin Herbert last year. If you're drafted early, you work your way into the starting lineup. I do think that they would be a Super Bowl contender very, very soon because I believe that Justin Fields that much. And also, like, it's a pretty safe bet to just say, hey, Bill Belichick's going to be back in the Super Bowl soon. You know, like, it's probably going to happen. And I think the moves they made this year point to them, you know, reloading, being super competitive again. And I think, you know, we saw Tom get one without Bill, and I think Bill's going to be pissed off, ready to go, and try to get his own without Tom.
We're talking to Matt Miller from ESPN and the draftscout.com. I'm of the opposite school of Lou. I don't think Bill's going to go up and get a quarterback because I think the only guy that's going to be available is going to be the 5th quarterback on the board, at least by the consensus of other teams. And unless he has a totally different opinion, I don't see him doing. So what I do see him doing is using and taking advantage of the fact that all of these teams are going for that one position and guys who he can look at and say, this guy can play for 5, 6, 8 years for us, dropping down the board. So what are the best players you see that you think could drop down to 15 that right now, and Bill talked about this yesterday, that you project at 6, 7, 8, and suddenly maybe at 15 you move up a couple spots because there's a guy you never thought was going to be anywhere close?
Well, I think it would probably be a defensive player because we are going to see a run on offensive players. You know, the quarterbacks are going to go, obviously, excluding the quarterbacks. Kyle Pitts and Jamar Chase will be drafted within the first 6 selections. Devontae Smith will probably be drafted within the first 11 selections. The offensive tackles, Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater, will go off the board within the first 12 to 13 selections. So maybe that's a situation where, like Bill said, you can come up 2 to 3 spots and get a player. But I think you would look at the defenders. Micah Parsons, the do-everything linebacker from Penn State. J.C. Horn, the big physical corner from South Carolina. Patrick Surtain II, the corner from Alabama. Those are the players where you look at your big board or your player rankings and you say, now, Micah Parsons is the number 5 overall player in this class. What's he doing on the board at 13 or 14? But I think to take it one step further from what Bill said was the teams drafting directly ahead of them, Philadelphia, the L.A. Chargers, the Minnesota Vikings, you have a lot of similar needs. So it becomes a question of would those teams want to trade back when they have a lot of the same needs that you do and they have to worry about you trading up to take a player that they might like. So you always love the idea of being able to trade up. Takes two to tango. It's not always as easy as wanting to get up to, you know, 7 or 8 to get the player that's falling down the board.
So, Matt, we were talking earlier about just how unique this draft is. And you've been doing this, you know, longer than we have. Is it like historic based on the fact that the first non-quarterback taken off the board, like after 3 quarterbacks go, the first non-quarterback to go off the board could be a tight end?
Very historic. Yeah, very historic in that regard. And I think some of that is you have to look at Kyle Pitts from Florida, who you're referencing, and say, okay, wait, is he a tight end? I think he's an offensive weapon. I mean, he played split out wide. He played H-back. He played inline tight end. He played everywhere. So I think that's what makes him interesting is that he can just be – he's an offensive weapon. He's a mismatch player, almost positionless. You know, it's just, okay, let's just match him up. If you're playing a team with a weak slot corner – play him in a slot. If you're playing a team with slow linebackers, play him a tight end. You know, you can move him around to really work the defense. So it is unprecedented, absolutely, in that regard. He's the highest rated tight end prospect I've ever evaluated if you had to put a position on him. And he's just different. 6'6", 245, running a 4.4. There aren't very many human beings like that. So I think that's what makes him so exciting.
All right, we're talking to Matt Miller, ESPN, and from the draftscout.com. Matt, Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com, he actually had a GM power rankings as far as draft goes. He only has 23 total because other guys maybe short track record or new GMs. He ranked Bill Belichick as the 18th out of 23 as far as best GMs in the draft. Where do you see Bill in his drafts maybe recently?
I haven't seen the full list. I have said before that I think Bill the coach saves Bill the GM. I need to look at his – definitely his track record at drafting defensive backs is not very good, especially in the second round. But I think it's also harder. You have to remember that the Patriots a lot of years are drafting, like I said earlier, you're drafting really late in the first round. You've been so set at some key positions that you're really just trying to fill out a roster. Like, I think it's easier to draft when you're bad. I know it might sound weird, but it is because you're just looking for good players. And with New England, for so long, you've drafted, like, you've had Tom Brady, you've had the McCourt, you know, you've had Devin McCourty, you've had these mainstay type players where you take the quarterbacks off the board, you take the safeties off the board, you have Stephon Gilmore, so you're not worried about that corner spot. I think it makes it a little bit harder to draft. Now, 18 seems a little bit low, but I do think that, you know, the greatness of Bill Belichick has been his ability to coach, his ability to identify low to medium tiered free agents and have them become really, really good players for him. Like, that's the beauty. I don't think that we're ever going to look back and be like, yeah, Bill Belichick, that's the greatest drafter of all time. No, he's the greatest coach of all time, and he's probably the greatest evaluator when it comes to free agents of all time. Like, you can't be good at everything, and he's really, really good at a lot of things.
So, good looking at that and what he's done later on in the draft, we look at slot receivers. He's been terrific at finding those type of guys, even taking him from different positions. So, Julian Edelman retires. I don't know, maybe Kendrick Bourne, maybe he's going to be your slot receiver, but it's probably likely because I keep on hearing that this draft is loaded with slot receivers. Is it, and is that something that you could see him doing, especially with the compensatory picks he's gotten the 3rd and 4th?
No, I think that, like, that's what you love about it, especially this year. This is such a smaller wide receiver class in terms of body type. Like, all the receivers this year are kind of smaller guys, and there are a lot of slot receivers. Rondale Moore from Purdue, he's 5'7". He was kind of a gadget player, but as a true freshman, he's one of the best players in the country. Then he got hurt. Then COVID happened, so he kind of has to take a little bit of a slower, you know, approach to the year this year coming off that injury. But there are a lot of guys like a Rondale Moore who are going to be available in the 3rd round who could be great players. Tutu Atwell at Louisville, another one. There are a lot of really good players in this draft who would fit that role of, you know, Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Agholor are going to play on the outside. You got these two great tight ends. Now we need that yards after catch underneath receiver. You can find value, absolutely, at that position.
Hey, Matt, last one for me quick. I know that the second-tier guys you talked about, right, Mond and Trask and I think Mills, right, from Stanford?
Yeah.
How would you rank those three guys?
I have it Trask, Mond, and then Mills. Mills has the best traits, huge arm, but he's only played the 13 games, and there's not a great track record of guys having success with that small amount of college exposure.
You can check out Matt Miller, thedraftscout.com, and, of course, you'll watch him on ESPN, and he joins us live today on the Harbor One Hotline. Great talking to you, Matt. We appreciate it. Have a great one.
Yep, thank you so much, guys.
All right. See you later. Matt Miller, ESPN. It's interesting, you know, you're talking about Bill as a drafter. Is it safe to say that if you are of the school of thought that Bill needs to draft a quarterback, that if Bill drafts a quarterback in the first round and moves up, everybody's going to give him phenomenal grades the next day? It's going to be A+, A+.
No matter who he takes as exactly.
No matter who he takes, right.
Well, that's the way it usually works in drafts.
And if he doesn't take a quarterback or he drops down, the grades are going to be horrible. Here it is, Bill again. He sucks. He can't draft. It's going to be a D grade or whatever. I think everything that Bill does that night, I'm not, obviously we know it's all going to be proven in a wash 3 years down the road. But what I'm saying is the instant reaction to Bill Belichick drafting, because Lou's right, there's been a lot of criticism and valid criticism of Bill drafting in the last few years. But it's all going to depend, the instant reaction, on whether he gets a quarterback or not.
Well, I think coming out of the draft, you know, like as far as grades go, I think a lot of it, most of it has to do kind of with trades. You know, I do. Like if some team, you know, like Miami, they're going to already say they did a good job, right? Because they've created multiple picks in the future. Or if you trade up, you know, if Bill trades up to 4 and grabs a quarterback, he will get an A+. Because yes, they'll say you needed a quarterback, he evaluated, he traded up, boom, whatever. I mean, if you stick at 15 and you draft a player, your grade depends on whether Mel Kiper liked them or not. We don't know at all. But it's usually the teams that are aggressive that trade up, or maybe out of 3, like the Dolphins, trade out and they get more picks and they're at 6. Those are the teams that make trades. They get the high grades most of the time.
For being aggressive.
Just for being aggressive or making smart plays and things like that.
Oh, making smart plays. I mean, in the moment, sure. Like, whenever I think about quarterback development, I think if what all teams should strive for, like, it just as a basic, you know, as like a baseline, sure, there's the guys that come in and play like crazy. Sure, there's, you know, there's guys that just completely wash out. But Josh Allen, in my opinion, is made the course correction, like, the right way. Like, first year, out of control, and second year, a little bit more of a manageable, you know, asset where you can kind of predict what he was going to do. Third year, he was, like, borderline breaking records. Okay, you can win with this guy. And not only is he shown that he's a good quarterback and an athlete, but everybody loves him.
So let's go back to him. And right after he was drafted, there were a lot of people hated it. You weren't alone.
Hated him.
A lot of people came out and said, what the hell are the Bills doing? This is another Buffalo Bills mistake. They keep on drafting the wrong quarterback.
Christian Ponder, Emmanuel, whatever the other guy was out of Florida State. They just couldn't get it right. They couldn't get it right. They hit on this one. I tell you what, they did an excellent job.
Well, that's why I don't think you can really. It is a crapshoot. You can say all you want. You can do all the research, and it's even more difficult to do the research this year. We just talked about Trevor Lawrence in the last hour, comparing him to the other Trevor Lawrence, and we were talking about the fact that this is the first critical stuff we've heard, and oh my God, because you know, general managers, personnel people are sitting down and asking him these questions. How big is football to you? How important is football?
And they ask all those during the combine, during the interview process. They always ask you a couple questions. You know, how important is it? Like, you got to prove that it's important to you, that you love it. And then they also want to know, like, the toughest guy that you played against throughout your career. Like, who is the guy that you thought was really good? Like, because if you're, like, you know, the best, you know, offensive tackle, and you tell me, hey, Lou Maloney was the best DN you faced, and he's not even on our radar, well, I should probably go talk to Lou Maloney. Guy's a beast, but nobody knows who he is. He's got bow legs, and he still run a 4.3.
Hairy.
Then, of course, was it the Miami Dolphins assistant general manager who asked the player a question, is your mother a hooker? Remember that one?
Right.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Dez Bryant?
I think it was Dez Bryant.
It was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, it is.
What does that have to do with my ability to catch a football?
No. He is right, though. This draft is
just curious. I'll answer it.
Good answer.
I'll answer it, but what does it have to do with my ability to catch a football?
The great thing is this draft. Like, he mentioned, like, it starts at 4. I still think it kind of starts at 3. I guess if they take Mac Jones, we all sit there and say, see, I told you, I guess. Everybody knew it. But at four, you know, he talks about Atlanta trading out. We said this before. I mean, if Atlanta likes Kyle Pitts, I don't know if you could trade out and still get him. Like, who are you going to trade out with? Four? Five? I mean, five? Six? You trade out with Carolina. Is Pitts going to be there at eight? And you know these teams. They sit there and they drafted four. Yeah, we got a lot of calls about moving out of this, but we'd love this player. Kyle Pitts, he's a, you know, generational tight end. We think we got the next guy. And then you get the five, and it's like, well, you know, Sewell or Chase. And it's like, yeah, we could trade up, but are we guaranteed to get these guys? And that's why I just think, you know, I think there's a chance that after three of them, you know, these teams, even though they might get calls to be moved, you know, to trade out, they might sit there and just absolutely love the player they have and not.
Oh, that's true. I think the Mac Jones number three to the 49ers, and Lombardi is now 98%, he's claiming around the league, 98%.
What about 99?
Well, there's still 2%. He's leaving the door open a little bit.
And I have him more like 95%.
Exactly. Wiggy's got him on a different scale. But a Tyler threw this out about Fields suddenly being the favorite now to be the number three pick and what impact that would have on the Patriots. I do think that would have an impact because you keep on hearing that the 49ers want Mac Jones because they think he's more ready to play now. And if that's the case, then they're more likely to deal Jimmy Garoppolo or let Jimmy Garoppolo go. So for the Patriots, I think that that could be significant, that it may give them the opportunity to open up the door. And I keep on reading the Lombardis and others who keep on claiming, even though they don't need the money right now, they really do need the money because next year they have so many guys that they have to redo that they can throw roster bonuses now, hide it in this year, and move money to next year. So financially, it's still the big picture for the 49ers. They're going to get a 4 or 5 year run. Question is Mac Jones ready to play in the National Football League?
It's funny because Matt Miller, he's got Justin Fields number two.
Just like Kuiper.
And going to the Super Bowl.
Eventually. Yeah, that seemed to be a real stretch.
But I tell you, I've said that before, and I mean it. Like, for the Patriots to get back to they have a quicker path if they move up and draft a kid than they do kind of standing pat with the path that they're on right now. Because it's like Cam Newton this year. Okay, next year, maybe it's Jimmy Garoppolo. And then next year, maybe we'll get involved with Mariota. And then, like, that's going nowhere. That's going nowhere. Just average quarterbacks are going nowhere. The quickest way for this team to get back to an AFC Championship and a Super Bowl is moving up, drafting a kid, and being right. I mean, obviously, they're going to draft him because they like him. And you got to trust Bill. You got to trust Josh. But that's the quickest way to get this thing back to where we saw it. It's not doing mediocre quarterbacks. The bridge to nowhere. It's not going to happen. They're not going to be good enough. Be good enough to maybe win 10 games, but you'll be a fraud.
I just think that the chances of that guy dropping and being the guy that Bill Belichick wants is very slim. This, by the way, from Ian Rappaport. The Giants are hosting former Patriot DB Jason McCourty, source said, as the team and McCourty are exploring a possible move in the future.
Yep. Okay.
He gone. Oh, obviously, he's gone, right? He ain't coming back here.
No, he's gone.
No, they've moved on.
Yeah. And so they probably told him they're moving on. So do they split the Twitter account now, or do they? Because they had it before.
Well, that'd be tough.
When he was playing elsewhere, right?
Who, Harmon? Oh, that's McCourty. No, Jason McCourty. Yeah, what are they going to do about their show? Are they like a podcast?
Well, I mean, these are serious issues they need to think about.
You know? Stick together. Wonder Twins.
So if New England doesn't want Jason, he's got to retire so the two of them can keep, you know, stick around and hang out together and do a show together and everything else.
Yeah,
he can't go play somewhere else.
It would be great if Jason was commenting on Devin.
I liked all the drama today. Like J.C. Jackson, he tweeted out a picture of him signing. Everyone's like, okay, one of three options. He's either signing a second-round tender.
Or he's
signing a deal from somewhere else. Or he's, you know, like the three different
it's a big
options.
Patriot logo in the background.
Yeah.
But what happened to the whole, like, you know, the other tweet that was throwing, was being
about making
around,
his money?
About, yeah, this is more important. This is about
gotta
money.
Feed
about
family.
Family about
gotta
family.
Feed the family.
Yeah.
I'm going to sign that tender. They got no other options.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't think he was familiar with the process. Those guys do not go anywhere. If you are a restricted free agent, they don't go anywhere. And if the Patriots were fearful that somebody was going to pluck him, then they would have put the first round tender on him, right? And they didn't. They put the second round because they knew nobody was going to do it. Teams just don't do it. And if you expect them to do
it, you got
to
really, really like them.
You got a real problem. Some of the players, have you seen this? Some of the players are not going to the draft. They're not going
Trevor
to the draft.
Trevor Lawrence not going.
Not going to the draft. He doesn't care.
He doesn't really care.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He doesn't care anyway, that much.
It's true. You,
that's another red flag. He's not going to get the hype.
I think that is
from Roger.
That is, you guys, I wasn't really buying into it. I'm like, okay, man, is it an issue? Does this guy just think his, you know what, doesn't stink?
Oh, it's an issue.
He's never had any type of, like, I mean, sure, he's had in-game, you know, circumstances to overcome, but everything's been, and I don't even want to say easy, but yeah, it's been easy.
See, I think you have
he's
to.
He's had the best receivers, best, you know, fans, best coach, best, everything. You name it, he's had it.
And it's all going to change. He's going to play on a team, sorry, Tyler, cover your ears right now, that just isn't that relevant in the National Football League. Okay? And the fan base is not that loyal for now.
They're building something special.
But wait a minute.
No, not yet. That's not do it yet.
But it's on him because he's got to be the guy that's going to end up building it. And he's going to lose a lot of games, and you wonder how he reacts to all of this stuff. Listen, we can't have it both ways. We can't sit there and talk about, you know, Montana and Brady and guys that weren't drafted that high and they had a chip on their shoulder and they spent extra time studying 24/7 and they did all of this extra curriculum work and then suddenly say, oh, big deal. So, you know, this guy Lawrence is saying that he likes other things in life. Come on.
Like, I compare
you can't
him
have it both
like,
ways.
I sit there and I go, Aaron Rodgers has that kind of vibe about him. He does. I know winning's important to him, and I know he, you know, was drafted late and had to sit around and he had to sit behind.
He's just looking at him hosting.
While he's been a player, he never looks like he's affected.
But
by
have
it.
You ever heard him say these things? I mean, you might sit
no,
there. And
I
say
never
he
hear him
look,
say anything. I'm just saying, you might see him all the time. He never looks pissed.
Yeah, you look at him. He never looks pissed, or he gives you that or whatever. But like, just the look on the field. But coming out and saying these things.
Well, that's a rookie mistake.
His dad that's saying these mistake. Things. He could walk away from football.
That's a rookie mistake.
Like that is just, too. That's a big difference between a vibe you get from the field. You know, it's like the Eli Manning face, you know, or Brett Favre. But I highly doubt that Brett Favre doesn't work or, you know, doesn't think football for him, like when he's in it, is like everything. Sure, I'll take time off, do some Jeopardy. When football's over, I have my life. But it's more of a concern. First round pick is supposed to change our franchise.
I just wonder.
You know, football's not everything.
Well, what
Christian,
the
let me ask you this. If he weren't the unanimous number one pick in the draft, and let's say, and forget about the race thing. I don't want to get into the Riddick and the race thing. If any of the other quarterbacks came out with this comment.
He'd be killed.
Exactly. People would be looking at it and say he could be the second pick. He could be the fifth quarterback to go off the board. But he.
Well, that's why I mean, there's
deal to
that's
him?
Why I mean, there's some arrogance attached to it because I feel like he thinks he can say whatever he wants. Like he's not affected by it. It's like, oh, hey, son, do you want pancakes or waffles? Like, I don't care, man. Whatever, I'll eat anything. Like to me, it seems like he just, you know, he's never lost. He's never lost, so he never really had to deal with the pain and I guess that is associated with that, or being the reason you lose. He'll be the reason they lose. He will.
Yeah. So we know Jacksonville's going to take him. We're not stupid here or naive. But if he were second, third, fourth, fifth quarterback or whatever in that mix, and you're general manager and you're sitting down and you're asking him these questions about how important is it, or you're asking him, I just read this quote from your dad. And your dad is claiming that you're not into awards, that it's not a big deal to you to put everything into going and winning a Super Bowl. What's a Super Bowl, you know?
It's not the most important thing.
Not the most important thing. If they threw those questions out to him, you know, how would he respond to all of that? And if he, based on what we've read in the Sports Illustrated interview, I would be concerned if I were one of those teams. The only reason we're not concerned is that
team.
We think talent-wise, he's head and shoulders above all of those other guys,
that's
right?
That's it.
He's just better than everybody
but
else.
But it's the first red flag we've seen from this kid, if you ask me.
And yet you brought it up earlier, and it was the right comp, and that was Andrew Luck.
Yep.
You look at Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck had the same thing. He's the best quarterback we've seen coming out of the draft, to the top of draft since Peyton Manning. And then you look at the rest of it, and now he's out of football. Because he got beat up, it didn't go so well, and he finally said, enough is enough. And he left with a good team. He still had a pretty good team at the time. All right, 617-779-7937, our phone number right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at PitchHitRun.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
I want you to say something really stupid. And then when you say it, I'm going to go, idiot.
Now back to OMF.
This hour of OMF being brought to you by Dana-Farber, Brigham and Women's Cancer Center, where everyone on your team specializes in your type of cancer and works to create a personalized care plan just for you. A plan focused on keeping you safe and defeating your cancer. Learn more at youhaveus.org. No Red Sox game tonight. It has been postponed because of the wintry conditions out there.
Unbelievable.
So here's the deal. They're going to play the normally scheduled 4:05 game tomorrow afternoon, weather permitting. And then Sunday they will play a day-night doubleheader. The first game, the normally scheduled game at 1:10. Then if you have tickets for tonight's game, the 4,500 lucky people, you show up on Sunday at 5:10. Matter of fact, they'll open up the ballpark 45 minutes earlier than that, and that's how they're going to do a day-night doubleheader. And then we get the 11 o'clock game on Monday, and then we'll be on right after that.
It's a lot of baseball, Lou.
A lot of baseball.
In a short period of time, you think the boys can handle it?
Rock and roll.
7 innings, though, with a doubleheader.
Make it tired.
Not a problem.
I do love
make
those 7-inning
make it a little Martin
games.
Perez or Tanner Houck, game one.
Perez.
Game two. Sorry, Will. But, yeah, it'll be good. I'm telling you, those 7-inning games, man. The days of like, oh my God, they burn your staff. No, not anymore, dude. Give me five. Someone's got to give me six eventually, right?
Well, they burn your staff if your starter sucks and gets pulled in, you know, second inning.
But even then, you go to somebody for like 3 innings and you're right back into like the sixth again, and you're like, okay.
Well, wouldn't you say the Red Sox have been pretty fortunate? You know,
five innings
in that category.
Excellent.
I mean, they've been. They have not. No, nobody.
Excellent.
Richards was close. I thought he was going to be the one to finally be. That just to blow up the bullpen and just wear everybody out, but he got to five. So they haven't really had any real, I don't know, you know, difficult situations to overcome.
Know,
like, you know, it's like, okay, fine. So they're down and they come back, but otherwise, no.
I'd say Evaldi's been their best pitcher. You know, he's been absolutely lights out. Yep. Richards, awful in game one, game two, he back to back bombs in the first and threw got him. You know, that's it. 5 innings, 2 runs. Last game, I don't love what I see from him, but still, it's an error by Dahlbeck. It should have been 5 innings, no runs. You know, it was 200 runs.
That is true.
So I don't love the stuff. Like we were talking to Alex before, that four-seamer's got a little natural cut I'm not a big fan of because it's not like an Evaldi cutter. I thought he's like two-seamer. I remember two-seamer slider. He was nasty to hit. He doesn't have a two-seamer anymore. But, you know, 5 innings, 2 runs. They avoid big damage. They avoid like the five, you know, like the giving up 4 or 5 runs in the first 2 innings, which we saw all year last year. They have avoided that. They pitched out of those jams. They've given their teams a chance to win, like Martin Perez, like Richards. And the offense finds a way later to figure out a pitcher and put up some runs.
Well, that the other thing is they're coming back in a lot of these games, which they never did last year. Had no shot at coming back in games. And they weren't graded at the year before. Let me go to Frank. Frank's in Brockton. Hello, Frank.
Hi, good afternoon, guys.
What's up?
Hey, Frank.
Hi. I just got out of work, and I turned on the radio, and I came in the middle of your conversation you had about Trevor Lawrence. And when I heard you guys talking about, like, you know, he just came, he had this laissez-faire attitude in an interview, I guess, and how football wasn't as important as people think that he should have been making it. It came to mind a guy that was a specimen, and I think he believed in his own myth, was Tony Mandarich, that offensive lineman. I remember.
Yeah, the tackle for Green Bay.
Was, right. And I remember seeing a Sports Illustrated, he was on the cover of it before he was drafted, and he was anointed the greatest offensive lineman ever, like, you know, a question mark. And I'm not saying that Trevor Lawrence is going to end up being like him, but he kind of had the same attitude. Like, he was kind of like a frat boy. He didn't take it serious enough. And
I don't know who calls this kid a frat boy. But.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about that Tony Mandarich. And it was, he was a psychopath.
Yeah,
he was a little crazy.
He was like steroided out of his mind.
Yeah,
he wrote a book about
steroids.
Yeah, but the thing is that, you know, they anointed him. He believed his own myth, you know, and I don't know. You know, like, they're so smart in the NFL that, you know, right now it's mobile quarterbacks that can run and pass, and, you know, this kid's big. He's a tall guy, and, you know, like. It's going to be a wake-up call.
I think it's a little different, though, than Tony Mandarich, who was drafted number two behind Troy
Aikman. Do you remember the caption on the front of it?
What does his height got to do with anything? He's tall.
I have no idea. I feel like the do you remember the cover of Sports Illustrated that he's talking about?
Sports Illustrated? Yeah.
It's like the big bust of the big enchilada or something.
Something like that. You're right.
I like this approach, though. I like this angle from a texter actually said, "What is there a chance they're throwing this out there to just... Maybe you have Jacksonville pass on him?
Oh, Jesus.
Have him
so the parents
are
putting it out there.
Because they'd rather go to the Jets.
These are his words.
That's what I'm saying. He's putting it out there. His dad's putting it out there. And all of a sudden, Jacksonville
gets cold
feet. And then maybe the Jets, again, I go back to draft day. You know, Bo Callahan. He's, why is he dropping? Why don't you take him? Why don't you take him? And the next thing you know, like San Fran, he's like, okay, we'll take him.
Ooh, do you think that they consulted with the Manning family? How could we work this out?
I like a good conspiracy. I like it.
I tell you what, I don't think I'd want to go with Jacksonville. As much as Christian thinks that, you know, Jacksonville is New England now and New England is Jacksonville, one or the other, I just don't think that's the franchise that if you believe you're a generational quarterback, and that's the way they're projecting him. They're basically saying this is the biggest guy we've had since Andrew Luck. You don't want to go to Jacksonville. It's not a good place.
He's a guy who doesn't love the celebrity or the limelight, so actually I would argue that Jacksonville is the perfect spot for him.
Might be.
Absolutely perfect spot for him. And I would also argue with you guys.
Looks like something from Duck Dynasty anyways, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That if the switch is flipped, I always screw that one up. Thanks, Mutt. So if it actually does click with Mutt's... If it clicks in Mutt's head, I'm all screwed up now.
Added.
Well said.
Hold on. Now, I will jump. Let me help you out there, Tyler.
If the light bulb does flip on for him, this is a bad sign for the rest of the NFL. That's what I was looking for.
You went through all that just for the light bulb
analogy?
Mutt
screwed up the phrase, and now the drop's in my head.
What do you expect?
Okay.
Antithesis of we are switching the flip from game.
Yes, that.
I would say. Influence
Mutt has on everybody.
The flip went switch.
The Urban Meyer, before he took that job, he made sure they spent a lot of money on their facilities, completely redid them, so it's going to look like a freaking just like, a big time expensive hotel over there.
Can you imagine what it was like before?
Urban Meyer is your coach, so there's got to be some energy from him overall. I don't know. Like, I think it. I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters.
I think it matters.
Here's the thing.
Awful lot
he's
where a, guy
a
gets
badass
drafted.
Quarterback. He's not just some chump that's had 1 year of success. Or
nobody's
he's not some guy
it.
That I know you're not saying it, but he's different. He is different. So I think a lot of people are twisting themselves into a pretzel. How about that one, Tyler? and just like, you know, reading into this, like, oh, he doesn't care about football. Like, he's okay losing. Like, he doesn't care if they succeed or not.
Well, He better be invested because we threw it out, and I'll throw it out again. The over-unders are out in the National Football League with the new 17-game schedule, and the Jacksonville Jaguars over-under is 6.5, and the Action Network says take the under.
Yep.
Take the under.
Six and a half.
Get rich with a generational quarterback.
I think it's even crazy. I mean, looking at those, and the Patriots over-under was 9. And people were leaning under, which blows my mind.
Yeah, me too.
Like a 17-game season with all the – like locally around here, I feel like we're harder on Cam Newton than anybody nationally. Nationally, they think, like, your guy's a great player.
They don't see every
player. So it's just like, so, okay, if everybody thinks he's a great player nationally, you know, Ocho Cinco and Brandon Marshall, and just turn on ESPN, how can it only be 9? 9 and 8? Guys, everybody thinks he's great. That's why I'm just happy he's here. I'm happy they loaded up on the weapons. I'm happy he's here because I no more excuses. Let's see it.
Because
so
when
if
Brandon,
he sucks, what excuse are we going to come up with then? Because he's got the weapons now. Oh, they weren't good enough. Weapons aren't good enough.
When Brandon Marshall says it, he doesn't have to put money on it. This is betting. This is gambling. This is money. You know, Vegas has to protect itself. And so, therefore, 9 makes an awful lot of sense. It's all a Cam Newton. So, last year, what would you rate him? 31st, 32nd, best starting quarterback in the league?
35.
Okay, 35. So where does he go this year? I mean, how would he get that much better?
The kid in Washington who showed up in the playoffs, I thought was better than him.
Yes, he was better.
So that's why I say like 35.
Let that guy start from Mariota. And then he would get exposed also.
Well, Mariota, back up out in L.A. or whatever the hell it is.
Threw a critical interception and then lost the game that he came in to relieve.
Is Mariota better than Cam Newton?
I like Mariota better than
34, 35. How about Jameis Winston? Like he was on the bench.
I feel like I need to defend Cam Newton now, and I don't want to.
Jameis Winston was on the bench. Would you rather have Jameis Winston than Cam Newton? Okay, 35, 36, like I said.
Yes. Okay, but okay, so you're over this 9-point win, right? You're like a 10
I still think they go 10-7
with 17 games.
Yeah,
but 10
and
7,
an extra game.
Kevin, 7 is not great with a 17 game.
No, it's not,
schedule.
But
it's
I can
like
still see them
9.
Winning 10. They won 7 last year with that garbage.
Yeah.
So they improved their roster. I just think it's interesting. I think
they're
going to
be better defensively.
9 wins. Yeah. It's like, well, and day one of free agency, day two, they signed all these guys, and the odds to win the Super Bowl didn't change because of the quarterback. They spent all this money on these guys, and they still think it's a 9-win team because of their quarterback. Like they signed all these guys, but like I said, they needed to sign these guys to get back to even.
By
to
the way,
fill all the holes that they've created.
So we're talking about Jacksonville, and Jacksonville is going to draft a generational quarterback here, and the over under is 6.5, and they're telling us to take the under. Didn't they have the second most money of any team in the league this past year in the offseason?
Yeah,
what the hell did they do with all their money?
They saved it.
They saved him. But, I mean, listen, he could be a great quarterback. But, I mean, you know, what was the over-under for, I think people are high on Burrow. What was the over-under in Cincinnati? He just said it's not a good football
team.
It's
a rookie coach. It's a rookie player with a rookie coach.
That's what it's going to be like in Jacksonville with a rookie coach and a rookie quarterback. And the question is, how is he going to react to all of that stuff?
The Jacksonville Jaguars, by the way, still have the most cap space. They're $40 million. They're saving it.
They're saving it. Rainy day.
They're going to carry it over the next year. They're saving it.
So. It's the TPE of the NFL.
Yeah. They still got $40 million.
Oh, my God.
They're going to carry it over.
Don't blame Christian or me. We weren't around much this week, but we get the best of our worst OMF ups. It's coming up next.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
Good.
Last Call.
I'm not thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, stretch
my thumb. Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
All brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS.
20 hours of talking. So many mistakes. This is OMF Ups.
You're like a word genius, and everything I say, you twist it around and make me look dumb.
Of course, we finish every week, every Friday, with the best of our worst. It is OMF ups, and I know Glenn and Christian are probably feeling pretty good about themselves that you know they're not going to be heavily featured.
By the rules, we didn't do anything this week, so go by the rules,
considering I make the rules, that might be a little different. But we are going to start. We're going to highlight some of the better or worse moments from Joe Kostig, Will Fleming, Lou Maloney.
Why not?
Had a busy stretch last couple days while we were kicking our feet up. What did that sound like?
He's up to 257 now with 5 homers and 11 RBIs.
I'm telling you, usually when he's laughing before ball games, as he was today, big things are coming.
Well, this would be a good start. Especially in a 7-inning Wago, we can get a nice little 3 spot.
Here's the 2-2, and he swings and misses at a fastball over the heart of the plate, strike 3, and that retires the side. Here's Plawicki now.
Plawicki. Early in that 7-inning game, you wonder here, 9-hole hitter. I know it's only the second inning, but a little toke-toke, a little bunt right here. That makes some sense.
He bunts. He rolls it toward the pitcher. Maeda has it. Fires to third. He throws it away.
Beautiful.
It goes into foul ground. A run is scored. Great call by manager Lou. Also, the Marshfield Shaw's star market today has make-your-own pizza kits for only $6.99 to benefit South River School.
I make a phone call.
Why wouldn't that be reviewable, Lou, if it's that blatant?
I mean, that gets you upset. Like, it does. You stole something from me.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? Like, before replay, you know, you're safe at first. They bang you out. You look at the replay. You're safe by a step. You feel violated. Like, you feel like you stole something from me. You know what I mean? That's my hit.
Toronto's tied the Yankees 4-4 in the bottom of the sixth.
That's a real shame.
That is a shame.
Yankees got tied on a wild pitch from Loaisiga.
It's awful. Hate seeing it.
Yankees 4, Toronto 4, top of the eighth in Dunedin. What are they? Jays are playing their home games for now.
I hated hitting there.
Lou is getting Twitter ready to taunt some Yankee fans.
Oh, I hope they don't lose.
Bo Bichette just hit a walk-off home run off Chad Green. Toronto beats the Yankees 5-4.
It's awful news. So the Yankees are now 5-7?
Yeah, they've lost 4-6 to Toronto.
God, that's just... They're supposed to win the division in the AL East easily. That's just too bad.
Give up a bomb to Bo Bichette, who hit it over the center field fence.
Bo Bichette.
He got 4 strong from Kluber. He's at a 6-1 ERA now.
I love doing games with both of you guys because Lou's ready to troll everybody. And when Joe saw that Bo Bichette hit that home run, he looked like my son when I hand him cotton candy.
No force to 4-6. And here is Willians Astudillo, who is 6-13 in the early going. He said built like a shorter version of Pablo Sandoval. In other words, he's not exactly spelt.
Eovaldi has looked great again. He gave up a double in the first. Nate is cruising right along. This is the part of the Twins' order today. Now watch him score 4 runs in this inning. And a swing and a ground ball off the mound and into center field, a base hit, and 2 runs will score. Totally unlucky here in the bottom of the third for Eovaldi.
Yeah. Nice job, Will.
Good job, Will. Indeed, the old announcer jinx.
See, the only thing that showed me is they're all bad at predicting what's going to happen in a game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was it.
And Lou's got a nickname for everything.
No, it's in Spanish. Espanol.
You can
I get
tell
influenced
that,
when I'm with Will.
Yeah, Will is rubbing off on you. We're trying to work Espanol into
bunt,
the broadcast.
Toque's bunt.
What was the other one?
I don't know. Wago's Wago. Game. Cambio's change.
Oh, Jesus.
Tusabe. You know, whatever. Guarado. I mean, it just flows.
Look at you.
So
you're bilingual.
It's a baseball term.
Bilingual, Lou. So that was the best and the worst of the booth. But, of course, it doesn't really feel like OMF ups if OMF is not involved. So I got a couple other things that I've been working on for years now, actually. This is a great opportunity to break out some of that stuff.
Years. Been working for years on
years, Glenn. This is stuff I never had an excuse to play, and I've found it right now. So here's another great compilation of you guys not listening to each other mid-conversation.
Y'all,
I can't even believe it. Here we go.
Around to Sean Watson.
You want him quarterbacking this team next year?
Who? Jimmy G?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
And you can't do that, Lou.
No, listen. I love the attitude. I love the attitude. They'll lose. It's
who will lose?
And he says Celtics fans may scoff. Really? Celtics fans might scoff at that?
At what? Say that again. But don't you screw up even more if you're trading him away right now at such a low point? What's his value out there in the market?
Whose value?
Because, you know, I don't think there's a chance, okay? Because if I was looking at it...
Chance of what? And so he wanted less structure. One of these guys going to want to come and play for Bill Belichick.
Who?
Which one of what guys?
The Giants are hosting former Patriot DB, Jason McCourty, source said.
Yep. Okay.
He gone.
Do they split the Twitter account now, or do they? Because they had it before.
Well, that'd be tough.
When he was playing elsewhere, right?
Who, Harmon?
Wake 49. Wake 49.
It's another number.
Wake was 49.
Who?
He didn't pitch anywhere. No, he was the last. Did he go anywhere else after the Red Sox?
Who that?
Of course. No. Nobody paid any attention. Well, that Giants run just happened, by the way.
I feel like it's more about the person who's talking and not being clear than the person that's actually trying to understand. That's why you say, what are you talking about?
It's like because you were on the back end of most of that, right?
He's nitpicking. I was like, what are you talking about? Huh? What?
You guys want one more?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so this one's not really OMF-centric, but it does star our guy, Lou Maloney, getting into it with a lot of callers who have trouble listening and having a conversation on the old telephone.
Oh. I didn't hear that phone call.
Is that fair?
You could work it the other way and say the most...
Oh, I thought the loss of Marcus Smart was just as big.
And they don't have to...
Good talk. Do you say that as something that, like, is a negative? Like, Josh should be really pissed about it, or did he do it to himself? All right, good talk.
San Diego's prospects, are they any good, Lou?
Steve, one second, please. You think Belichick wanted to keep him?
And what about all this crap? Good
talk. He was bailing out on throws. Yeah, he was throwing the ball away. Yeah. You just wait till I talk. You keep asking more questions before I answer. Go ahead. Any more questions?
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Lou. Go ahead. Who plays the game of basketball, man, with their back to the basket?
Anthony Davis does not.
Anymore, guys, the game is changing. Oh, my God.
Handles the ball. Hey, John.
I'm talking to a wall right now. No, I'm talking. Lou. All right? Lou. No.
Can't do this. Defense talk. Whatever.
Yeah, you thought they were great against Miami and then Pittsburgh, right?
Listen.
Okay, good job. What don't we get here?
Lou, his ERA was under two. Lou, what were the scores of those games?
4-1, 4-2, 5-1. It wasn't 20-1.
Nope. Good talk. The team scored enough to win.
Nope. Do people realize how stupid they sound sometimes?
There you go. Good talk.
I apologize to all those people.
Good talk.
Must have been a bad day that...
Bad day,
months.
Day, days, plural. That's a new name. So the fourth man in the show now is who? Ordway, Maloney, Fourier,
and who?
Who?
What?
What? Who are you?
Who? What?
Good talk.
Hi, Mike.
Good talk, Mike.
4 hours today, Fourier. Good talk. How about you?
I almost didn't make it.
Unshaven, unkempt. Who?
Who? I'm out of shape. I have no stamina.
Out of radio shape?
Yeah, I have no stamina.
He's worn out. Look at him.
Yeah. He's tired right now. We'll get him out of here. We got a lot to do tonight.
What do you got?
It's my fault. I said all last Friday, our last full show till October, and then get rained out the next Friday. So it's all my fault. We'll talk some baseball, the rules of baseball tonight with our buddy Bradford. And at 7 o'clock, Tommy Kern, who wrote about Bill Belichick today and the rekindled spirit of Bill Belichick. Yeah. We'll talk to Tommy Curran at 7 o'clock. Some Red Sox tickets early in the show. So Red Sox, full 4 hours tonight.
I tell you, this team keeps you on your toes. You never know. They might bang a game at 9 a.m. on a beautiful day. You know what I mean?
Well,
you got some things going on in Minnesota. 158 ambush, call the game. This stuff.
I blame you for today's late call because you spent the entire opening day killing them for calling it so early and how nice it was. And they wanted to make sure we didn't get buried by Lou on the radio. So they waited until 3 o'clock today. So full show today. Curran, Bradford, let's go.
Geez. Got a good one. Mutt at night. There's no Red Sox baseball. Yeah. It has been postponed. They'll play 2 on Sunday. Don't forget, you can listen on demand on the free Odyssey.com app. Fellas, have a great weekend. We'll do it after the Monday morning game on Monday. So we'll be on early afternoon sometime. Catch us then. Have a great weekend. Stay safe out there.
Yeah, Mike, I want to know what exactly is it?
For nearly 30 years.
I love EEI.
WEEI. Sports Radio.
WEEI. Boston Sports Station. WEEI.